I'm Aaron, that's Will. We are bringing you the passion, tradition, and drama of college football to listeners down under. Because we fucking love college football.
They hand it off to Johnson. Boise State has won the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. Can you believe it?
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Hello again and welcome to College Football Down Under. My name is Aaron. That's Will. How are you going today, Will?
I'm good, my friend. How are you?
Good. Getting set for week two college football action. We are here with this week's preview show. We got plenty coming to you today. We'll have a look at the big games of a relatively quiet week in college football. Along with some chalkboard stuff, we'll have a look at a few bits and pieces to help our listeners out there understand the game of college football a little bit further. We'll go on the punt with Will again. Hopefully he can, you know, get us back in the black. I think we went under last week, so hopefully this week we can get back.
Whoa. You're making it sound like it was a train wreck.
Well, we
paid our dues last week, and this week
it's time to make money, as you say.
Anyway, yeah, see, look.
Picking winners.
You're being sarcastic, but I'm going to take it on board because we're doing this for the team.
We're also going to make a weekly bold prediction because my season predictions out of three of them, two of them are out of the... They're done now. They're not. Brian Kelly could still get sacked, but it's probably not happening. So we're going to pick a couple of weekly predictions for this week to sit alongside our year-long ones, which may or may not happen. And again, hopefully we can have some luck. I know they're out there, but hopefully we can have some luck with them. First, look at the slate of college football. What are you thinking going into week two? How are the Cowpokes looking? I know I'm looking for Miami to bounce back against Savannah State, the heavy hitters that they are.
I hope so. It's definitely a quieter week this week, so we were really spoilt to a few awesome games last week with some highly ranked matchups, so that was great. This week, bit of a step down. There's only two games where both teams are ranked going into this week, so that doesn't mean that there's not a lot of good viewing available for us. Oklahoma State have got a nice cushy time slot for me at 9 a.m. Playing the powerhouse that is South Alabama.
Sorry, can you say that again, Will?
That was South Alabama.
Yeah, okay.
That they're going to beat the pants off of. So I look forward to watching them play. I didn't get the opportunity with the Thursday night game last time. So that will be good. There's going to be a few interesting matchups. I don't know if we'll learn a lot about the top teams, but there's definitely a few juicy ones in that middle tier where they're really going to be vying for a victory to put themselves in a position to go bowling.
And no doubt at some stage, someone, somewhere, there'll be a close game or something crazy will still happen, as it always does. There's always kind of that week in the year of college football where it's like, it could be week 7 or 8, that break kind of in conference slates when bye weeks come in and we kind of sit there and we're like, not much is going to happen this week. And then all of a sudden...
So that's your bold prediction. Arkansas State are getting up and knocking off Bama this week?
That's not what I'm saying. Generally doesn't happen week two, but there often is. There'll be something somewhere will happen. So
that's why we love it.
Okay. We're going to jump straight into the chalkboard today. So we're going to have a bit of a chat about conferences to give you guys a bit of a look at how college football works. So there are... 130, I think there's 130 teams in football bowl division, so FBS football, 130 teams in Div 1, made up of 10 conferences. They are the Power 5 conferences, which is what we have predominantly been talking about, and then there's the Group of 5 conferences.
Wikipedia is telling me 129 plus one transitional.
That means they're not playing football. I can't actually remember who that is. They come in next year, so they're actually in FBS. They're in the conference, and they may be playing soccer or lacrosse or something.
And $130 is a nice round number. Let's go there.
Yeah. So I don't actually know who that's going to be, but So there's obviously that many teams, and to have that many teams playing against each other is impossible. You can't play 129 games in a season to work out who the best team is. And historically, when the NCAA was formed, And that didn't happen. So conferences were formed geographically, and they allowed teams to play other teams in their same region. And then, you know, there was a lot of tradition and a lot of importance and weight placed on winning your conference.
Yeah, because if you won your conference, then you just claimed you won the national championship.
So we would have three or four teams a year claiming the national championship. So, you know, and they still exist today, some of those big traditional powers, the Big Ten, the ACC, the SEC, the Pac-12, although they're a little bit down at the moment, but the Pac-12 and the Big 12 are our five power conferences. So the teams that sit within that conference are the big heavy hitters, generally speaking, that go on to have the biggest impact and are more likely to win those national championships.
So it's, yeah, from an outsider looking in, it's a bit strange that there's not a whole heap of structure around it. There's no promotion relegation. There's no consistent 10-team format or 12-team format. I mean, it's the Big Ten, it doesn't have 10 teams in it. It's the Pac-12, it doesn't have 12 teams in it. It's the Big 12, it doesn't have 12 teams in it. Like, it's ridiculous that, you know, all of these things are what they are, but you just kind of need to look past a little bit, and then it makes it a hell of a lot easier to understand that there's five power conferences with different teams in it, and, you know, some of them are stronger some years and then weaker in others. But it's a bit cyclical in, you know, who's powerful outside of the SEC probably being predominantly at the top and consistently winning national championships, at least across the last decade.
Yeah. And so, yeah, those conferences, I guess, like we said earlier, geographically based, generally speaking, but they were far more so in the past. So historically, they actually obviously had to be kind of bus or car travel distance. Rather now, obviously, the teams just fly everywhere. So, you know, the ACC in particular has a team up in Boston, you know, further in Massachusetts, way up further north of New York. And then they've got a team down in South Florida. Now, that flight, you know, is a long, long flight. That's kind of 5-6 hours. Now, that you're not doing that in a bus historically. So those teams, Boston would stay really, really local and play against New York teams, maybe against teams from Delaware, Connecticut, all those teams. They wouldn't go too much further than that. There was a whole bunch of conference realignment that happened in 2005, again, a little bit later. That's ended up where we are now. And yeah, that gives you a little bit of a look at the big conferences, and we predominantly talk about the Power Five.
We do, but there is obviously the group of five, which are the remaining conferences, and that's still a really high level of football, and we've got a number of Australians playing at both of these levels, and you know, you can't talk down the quality of the group of five teams, because that's still, you know, at a super high level. You probably wouldn't say that it's a AFL, VFL, AFL, SANFL comparison. Maybe at the top of the, you know, the Power Five conferences versus the rest, and that's probably not just saying, you know, the group of five teams, that's against some of the weaker Power Five teams. But your lower to middle rung Power Five and the top of the group of five definitely match up, and that's what you start to see in some of the non-conference matchups early on in the year, that there's a fair bit of parity at that level, and it's not always a shoo-in that a Power 5 team will beat a group of five teams.
100%. I mean, we look at UCF last year, went undefeated, beat Auburn in their bowl game last year, and Boise State are also ranked to start the season this year. So there are some really, really good teams coming out of that group of five.
Yeah, and I think it plays into that whole playoff debate that's going around at the moment. So four-team playoff at the end of the year that's selected by a committee. There's no qualifying criteria to get you in there. You don't, you know, win your conference and then that qualifies you. It's just based on the opinion of 13 people, I believe. So there's a big argument to say, well, let's push it to eight teams. Let's give the five power conference champions a bid, and then potentially, you know, two at-large bids to the most deserving, and then one bid reserved to a group of five team that's seen as, you know, the best of that lot.
Yep, and, you know, these conferences, at the end of the year playing some pretty significant games and bowl games, and they play out-of-conference games now against big teams. But like Will said earlier, historically those teams just claim national champions, but who's to say that a champion from the SEC is better than a West Coast team like USC or someone in the Pac-12? There was no ability to be able to do that. But if you've got any more questions about those conferences, feel free to hit us up. You know, I follow a team in the ACC pretty closely. Will's heavily invested in the Big 12, and you can't help but getting away, but avoiding the saturation of the SEC. It is everywhere, especially with the dominance of Alabama in particular. So yeah, that gives us a bit of a look at some conference talk, and we'll go more into some other topics and bits and pieces on the chalkboard later in the year. All right, let's move on to some previews for this week. We've picked out four of the biggest games. I'll get Will to kick us off. Where are you going to start us, Will?
I'm going to have a look at Clemson A&M. So this is a highly anticipated matchup this weekend, I think. Any game that Clemson plays in and against an SEC school is always going to be fun. And this one being at College Station, so Texas A&M home game, a site that we were lucky enough to visit on our
massive
road
massive
trip. Huge stadium, 100,000. So our trip, we were just traveling through during the week on our way through Texas, so walked throughout the stadium and had a look around. I was lucky enough when I was over in 2011 to go to a game there, and it's something else. Their student section is insane. They stand up for most of the game. They have these chanters that or these chant leaders, I believe they are. So not cheerleaders, but these guys who send hand signals directing different chants to the crowd, and they all sway, and it's quite the spectacle, but it also creates an awesome atmosphere there. So it's a tough place to play. There's a lot of noise there, and that's going to play into it. As you know, everyone's aware, Clemson are a super powerful outfit, and they're incredibly strong this year. But I don't think this is, you know, a given game here. This is a bit of a trap game for them, in that Texas A&M have a new coach in, but they have a hell of a lot of talent, and Jimbo Fisher knows what he's doing. So he's going to be geared up and ready to go for this one, and I really look forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's actually... Yeah, it's in Kyle Field, so that's probably going to keep it a little bit closer. I don't think... You say trap game, I mean, Clemson played Furman last week, and then they get Georgia Southern next week. So it's not like they're looking ahead to anyone particularly threatening. I think, you know, A&M managed to run the ball really effectively last week, actually. I mean, it was against Northwestern State, so nothing too impressive there. But they put up over 500 yards. I just don't see them being able to put up... Obviously, you're not going to put that up against Clemson without their star-studded defensive line. But even with that defensive line, I don't know if they're going to be able to run the ball potentially at all. That leaves Kellen Mond at quarterback, this running quarterback who just can't seem to throw the ball that well. So I think, you know, it's going to take a lot for the 12th man, the student section there at Kyle Field, to get them over the line. But there's no reason that I think Clemson will really be touching this. It'll be an interesting game to see what Jimbo Fisher's going to do in his first big test, I guess, as Texas A&M coach. But yeah, I think they are going to struggle. Clemson are just so good, and you know, last week they put in Trevor Lawrence, the true freshman quarterback, and he threw three touchdowns. So Travion Williams is not going to have the success of 240 yards. If they are to win, he has to.
Yeah, and I mean, he's not going to have that sort of day, but I think they're definitely going to be in this one. It's going to be close. I think Clemson will win. The lines are 10.5, I think. So Clemson are double-digit favourites, but I expect A&M to keep it within single digits.
I think we could see Kellen Mond. I reckon they could go for over 10 tackles for a loss here, Clemson. That defensive line, they're going to do work. So I think Clemson pretty handily. I'd say I reckon Clemson will cover. That's just me. I reckon a couple of touchdowns. All right. So that kicks us off with Clemson, Texas A&M. I'm going to jump to what I think is possibly, It's going to have to be a critical game for me to get this SEC bold prediction of mine right. And I'm going with Georgia and South Carolina. And for me, for my prediction to come true, South Carolina have to win. Are they going to? Probably not. But hey, we'll go with it anyway. So Georgia last week beat Austin Peay 45-0. I mean, not any particular threat. They don't play Division I football, so or FBS football. So a bit hard to tell if that means anything. But their offense looked amazing again. You know, they talk about all the losses they had offensively last year. But Jake Fromm, DeAndre Swift, Mirko Hardman, and, you know, Demetrius Robertson, the transfer, looks really, really good. The big concern for me is the Justin Fields issue. So Justin Fields comes in as a super hot recruit at quarterback. And can he, you know, come in? And they were sort of talking, he could actually take the quarterback position from earlier in the year. And he actually split time with him in this game. So there's, you know, Justin Fields has seen the field already and has got some playing time. So what I kind of want to see from this game, I want to see Fromm struggle a little bit because I want to see what Kirby Smart's going to do. If he does, I want to see if they're going to go with Justin Fields and just to see how that whole thing plays out.
Okay. Yeah, I really like South Carolina in this one. I think Georgia have a bit of an adjustment in the talent that they lost. Obviously, the backfield talent that they had running the ball last year needs to be replaced. I mean, we all know that they've got that. They've recruited incredibly well, so they're an incredibly talented team, but there is an adjustment to that, and I think South Carolina and the defense that they're going to bring on the weekend will be as tough as that they're going to face outside of your Alabamas. So it definitely is going to have them right under the gun from the get-go, and I really like South Carolina's chances in this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything's got to go right for them, I think, for South Carolina. And I've talked to you about it. Will Muschamp offenses are so boring. I complained about it when he was at Florida. I complained about it last year at South Carolina. Having said that, they showed a bit of something last week. They were a bit up and about. They moved the ball. They threw the ball 29 times. Jake Bentley got going at quarterback and had some success. They've got Deebo Samuel, who is an absolute freak at receiver. And they all of a sudden look like they can actually, you know, throw the ball deep to go along with this kind of stodgy, predictable, slow Will Muschamp running the ball and some always really solid defenses.
So are you saying that you chuck this out on the podcast and that Will Muschamp's a big closet fan of college football down under, really got around it and loved it?
I don't think that's okay, what happened. That's not it. No. But maybe. I can't imagine he would listen to what we have to say. But anyway, you guys keep listening out there. So I think it's going to be an interesting game. I think it's going to go down to the wire. I think South Carolina will have their chances. Georgia will just be a little bit too good at the finish. But I think that it's going to be within a score. And I think we'll be impressed by South Carolina. It's also an opportunity for Georgia to, you know, just completely dominate the eastern side of the SEC and really plant their flag all over that division if they do get up big. So it'll be interesting to see, and I think it being in South Carolina is going to keep it far closer than if it was to be played in Athens. But yeah, I'm picking Georgia in a closer than expected.
Yeah, I am going to agree with you on this one. We need some sort of like a alarm or something for when that happens, because it is it's rare, but yeah. I'm with you. I think it is close. I think Georgia probably win, but I do like South Carolina to be in the match late.
Okay. USC and Stanford, the first time we talk big on the Pac-12.
Yes. So this is probably the big one for me this week. I really like the look of this matchup. Two very strong programs. Stanford had the wood over USC previously, having won 6 of 8 going into last year. But then USC were able to flip the script a little bit, winning their in-season conference game last year and then going on to beat them in the Pac-12 championship game. So they would have a bunch of confidence coming out of that. This one's being played in Stanford, which definitely will help the Cardinal. Another stadium that we were able to visit. Yep. Didn't get to rush the field, unfortunately. It was so bitterly cold.
Yeah, it was freezing, wasn't it?
My God, that walk to the pub afterwards.
Yeah. That pub was warm, though.
It was.
And we met that other Australian guy there who was hammered.
Sure was. We have a way of doing that, us Aussies. But it's not the most intimidating place to play. Smaller stadium. 45,000 and like a fairly civil bunch, as you'd
most
expect
of them
from
are in
those
the library,
nerds.
Probably. Yeah,
like they're not really getting into it too
Their
much.
Mascot's a tree. Oh.
Yeah, weirdos. So I really like USC's chances in this one. Stanford have opened as 5-point favorites, but I think USC coming off, you know, a not great performance last week, a slow start against UNLV. Yeah. They made some adjustments. They have their true freshman starting quarterback in JT Daniels, who was able to, you know, have the training wheels on for a first game and work his way into it, which is awesome for him. So they are definitely well placed to give this one a real nudge, and probably where I would be looking to win in what would be an upset. Thoughts?
I think there's a couple of things here. I think JT Daniels in his second game against a much, much better defense is going to be tough for him, and they really need to get that run game going. Not only that, the Trojans head to Texas, to Austin, Texas next week. Now, I'm not saying they're going to look ahead. They'll certainly be keeping a close eye on Stanford, obviously. I don't think it's going to be some sort of look ahead letdown or anything like that. But, you know, maybe... that could play into their minds a fraction. I don't know. Not that we're really threatened by Texas. Yeah. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a really good receiver. That's right. He is named after an Egyptian god, and his brother Equimunius St. Brown, or however you say his name.
Yeah, whole family is great. Yeah, there's an article up that we'll post a link for. It's brilliant. That family is... something else
when it comes to naming their kids. So he's a really, really good receiver for JT Daniels. But I think I'm actually really looking forward to this one. I think the KJ to JJ Thega Whiteside connection will continue on the weekend. I think their defense, and I think Bryce Love, who got off to a really, really slow start last week, only 29 yards on a whole heap of carries. He had about 18 carries or 16 carries or something, so he had a fair bit of the ball but just couldn't get going. I don't think that happens again, so I'm looking forward to a really good outing by what will go on and become probably the Pac-12, or they'll be involved from the Pac-12 South. And I think that JT Daniels will struggle, and I think it'll actually... I'm picking Stanford to get away from them a fraction.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, next one for me. I'm going Michigan State, Arizona State. Now, we went to Arizona State as well. That was one of the best games we went to. Went to triple overtime.
Oh, at least. It just kept going.
That went deep. In a strange sort of part in Tempe, Arizona, they play next to that random mountain and side of a hill.
A mountain.
It's just in the middle of the desert, and Arizona State was cool. It was so much fun. Manny Wilkins is a quarterback. I think he was actually... No, he can't have been starting when we were there. Surely not. It's going back a while now, but he's playing really, really well again. And Kiel Harry is a freak. He caught 6 last week for 2 touchdowns for the Sun Devils. And Eno Benjamin got their run game going last week, and that was really their kind of weakness coming into the season for Arizona State. And they put up some points. They did it really, really easily last week. So Michigan State coming to Tempe, Arizona in the desert. They can't be that bad again, can they? I mean, Michigan State are favourites, but I really like the look of Arizona State on offence. Their defence has improved considerably since Todd Grantham has left. Not saying that Todd Grantham was a bad defensive guy, but, you know, their defence has improved considerably to the point where now Arizona State could be a bit of a threat and create some issues for some teams if they're not expecting it. So... I'm really, really looking forward to this one. I think it's going to be relatively high scoring. I think they need Lewerke at Michigan State to play well again, and they need that defense to step up this time.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan State were really probably disappointing.
Probably disappointing. They nearly lost to Utah State, who aren't the worst team.
Yeah, exactly right. I'm not taking away from Utah State. They're not too bad, but I think Michigan State came in with huge expectations and, you know, really weren't able to live up to them and only just were able to squeak away from a win, which, you know, good teams do. They find a way, they manage to get it done. So power to them.
Yeah, and we've got our boy, your mate.
Michael Sleep Dalton
at Arizona State. And I've got a lot of time for Arizona State, so they're probably one of my favorite teams in the Pac-12. So get around the Sun Devils, and I'm going to pick them in a really, really tight one. It could be one of those ones that comes down to the last possession, but I think at home maybe they'll just get over Michigan State and prove that Michigan State maybe aren't that good.
I think Michigan State bounce back. I'm going to disagree with you on that one. I think they win, and I think they win by more than a touchdown.
Well, that is a real option, which is a worry for me. But, hey, I'm going with who I like, not who I think.
That's why you don't give out the picks.
That's why, yeah, okay. Well, hey, I probably would have won as much money as you did last week. Anyway, I probably would have picked Purdue. Anyway, so the watch list for this week, for those people that are keen for an idea about who to follow, who to watch, I've got to come up with some new names for these, so I apologize for my lack of humor, but here's how we go. So it's 1:30 in the morning, you're jet-lagged, and you can't sleep. This is who you're watching. I say check out Georgia Tech versus South Florida. I think that could be an interesting one. And Duke versus Northwestern. I know Will's going to disagree with the two smart schools in Duke and Northwestern being an interesting game.
I'm all right with that one. It's the Georgia Tech game that has me interested. You're trying to help these people get back to sleep by having some run football going on? Is that what it is? You're jet-lagged. We want you to get back in cycle, so I'm going to help you out here.
I just think South Florida could be one of the better group of five teams. They always have a lot of talent down there, so it'll be interesting. That's where Willie Taggart actually did his best coaching there. He's not doing it at Florida State. So.
No, sir.
Okay. The next time slot, 5 o'clock, I can manage this, but I'll definitely feel really shit for the rest of the day. Georgia versus South Carolina, that's the one we'll be getting up and watching. The other one that I think could be interesting is Colorado versus Nebraska. The Buffs beat Colorado State last week. The reason I think Nebraska's the better team, and I think they probably win, but they haven't played. Their game was cancelled last week. So Colorado have had that game to get used to everything. Nebraska have got a new head coach. I think that game could be closer than people expect.
Yeah, I look forward to that one for sure.
That one could be good. So we'll keep an eye on those two.
We'll have that one on the second screen.
Exactly. The next slot, 6:30. I'm not 22, so this is my normal get-up time at 6:30 a.m. Iowa State. Now, last week, Iowa State didn't play. One of them was cancelled, I think, due to weather. But definitely worth a look. Those two teams don't love each other, and it's always a little bit closer than you. Again, you would think Iowa would be able to manage Iowa State pretty handily, but I think Matt Campbell's got them going well. And they've got a six-year quarterback, so who knows? I think that one could be a really good one to watch as well.
Yeah, it's always a good rivalry, that one.
My hangover hasn't fully set in yet at 8:30 in the morning. So that's Clemson and Texas A&M. Definitely worth a look there. My hangover is definitely starting to kick in at 9 o'clock in the morning. We've got Kentucky and Max Duffy, the Aussie boy, who got a really good start last week, are up against a new and improved Florida outfit. So that could be a good one to watch. And the next one I've got, I'm getting on board the Golden Gophers this year. They're another team from the Big Ten that I really like. We've got Daniel Faalele there. He's an Australian guy playing some offensive line. Play Fresno State. Now, Fresno State put up 70 points last week. Minnesota got off to a really good start and put up some points, so that's going to be a high-scoring one. It is up in Minneapolis, so Fresno State have got a bit of traveling to do, and I think Minnesota get across the line, but well worth watching if you've got the ability to do so. The 10 o'clock, I just got back from church. I don't know when church finishes. I've never really been to church, but
10 o'clock sounds fair.
Yeah, I guess so. That's USC Stanford. Most of the action tends to be over on the West Coast, so starting a little bit later today. Why is Monday so close at 12:30? Because by the time that 12:30 kickoff game finishes, it's like 4 o'clock, and you're like, work tomorrow.
Yeah, that weekend's really getting away from you at that point.
Yeah. That's Michigan State, Arizona State. Again, I'm picking the Sun Devils. Keep a close eye on that one. And then Australia's team, game of the week, Hawaii versus Rice, starts at 1:30. It's going to be dark before that game finishes. And Hawaii are going to win that one again and score some points on a Rice outfit that got run over the top of last week.
Yeah, I like that. That's good, my man. I mean, we said it was a bit of a down week, but there's plenty to watch. It's definitely going to have us glued to the couch.
Yeah, exactly. As we head into our bold predictions for the week, we've only got... Well, I've got two, so I'll go first on my two really short ones. To go alongside my predictions for the year that the SEC won't have a team in the championship, Brian Kelly will get fired. They're the only two I've got left. So this week's bold predictions, Bryce Love will go for 150 yards and two touchdowns against USC. I don't know how bold that is, but I'm saying that he will have a bounce back game and go big.
Yeah, I mean, that's fairly bold. USC are a good program. So to give up 150 yards and a couple of touchdowns to, you know, a Heisman candidate is... I'll pay it. I'll allow it.
Admittedly, Heisman candidate. And here is my really out there one. Nevada versus Vandy.
Okay. I mean...
Yeah, I mean... Vandy are an SEC team. I don't know if you would know it or not. They don't get a lot of love. Nevada put up 70-odd points last week. Vandy put up points last week. I'm going to say combined, these teams go for over 100 points.
That's your bold prediction?
That's my bold prediction.
We're not even going to remember this. You're going to have to
I've got it written down.
Because who cares?
Oh, come on, Colin Kaepernick played for Nevada. He can't get a job anymore because he knelt at the national anthem or something.
Have you seen everyone cutting off their Nike ticks?
What?
Because Nike have used him as like the headline for their latest campaign. Like he's a spokesman.
Yeah.
So people are up in arms removing Nike ticks from their clothes and stuff.
Oh, nothing like a protest in America, eh?
Love it.
All right.
What are you going with? My bold prediction for this week. So coming in some pretty good form with my App State pick. Ugh. Although it didn't get up. pretty close.
You're claiming pretty close as being a win.
It's like... pretty bold. And pretty close.
You know, it was 11 years to the day when Penn State played App State last week.
That's why I made the pick. Do you not listen to me when I
talk? I try not to, no. Anyway.
Obviously not. All right, my bold prediction this week. I've got another upset on the cards, and this one might be a bit out of left field. So two teams who started the seasons quite differently. One being Kansas State, who had to work really hard to get over an FCS opponent.
Wow, and Kansas State only
just get up over the line. Coming up against Mississippi State this week.
Who started with a bang.
Stomped out their opponent in their preseason matchup. So these two teams meet at Bill Snyder Stadium this weekend.
And Bill Snyder's the coach, just for...
He is, which is insane. I also sent a petition into the MCC for the MCG to be renamed Alistair Clarkson Stadium. I'll keep you guys updated with anything that comes back on that. But anyways, back to this. I think that Kansas State are going to turn it around and beat Mississippi State this week.
Yeah, I don't hate that as a pick, to be honest. I actually don't know. I don't know where the line's at. I don't hate that.
I'm shocked by this more than anything else.
I mean, I was looking at that game in terms of giving predictions for people to watch. Mississippi State offense is always good to watch. And, you know, Kansas State, again, a bit like, you know, Michigan State, they can't be as bad as what they were last week. Like, it just can't happen. Kansas State were looking at being ranked, they were receiving votes in terms of being ranked to start the season. So they're not that bad. I don't hate it. Could be an interesting one to see Kansas State can control the clock a lot enough. But yeah, I don't hate that as a pick. I don't know that, you know, my Bryce Love prediction, I feel, is not that bold. Your Kansas State, Mississippi State, I don't know is that bold either.
Oh, come on. They're double-digit dogs.
Are they?
Yeah.
Mate, home dogs. That could be the one. That could be the one. Well, I'm almost backing them in. I'm almost backing them in here.
I'm liking my pick less now that you're on board.
No, I'm definitely on board. On board.
I begrudgingly will also back in my pick.
Okay. Well, you're going to have to begrudgingly back in some more because you're about to go on the punt.
I am here to bring you winners.
Here we
yes,
go again.
Yes, sir, I am. Everybody's favorite segment of the week. On the punt, I am here to get us some money back that we gave away last week and really enhance our experience of enjoying college football. So I'm not going to beat around the bush this week. I have five picks. Five picks.
Holy moly.
Spreading it out. For those of you who are long-time listeners, you know we talk units here, so that anyone from a dollar budget out to $100,000 budget.
You see that guy put like $300,000 on Federer to beat it, that Australian guy?
Milman?
Yeah.
Ooh, that hurts. That's a bad beat.
Don't do that.
No, sir. I am here to give you the opposite of what happened there. As the intro would suggest. Anyways, moving along, five picks, giving units. We will start with a game that we touched on earlier here that I already know my friend across from me is not going to agree with on this, but I think this offers excellent value. An underdog on the road. I think Colorado will beat Nebraska in Lincoln.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
I'm not asking for the line here. I'm saying pick 'em. 275 you'll get for Colorado to win that game. This is a team who is well drilled, is well established. They have things in place. They know what they're about. Against another team who's transitioning, new head coach, freshman quarterback, first start. There's enough there for me to say take Colorado at 275 all day.
Yep, and Nebraska haven't played yet this year. I don't hate it. Going to be an interesting one. We'll see how Nebraska goes. Remember, gamble responsibly.
We'll take 3 units on that one. Whoa. That's a real moneymaker.
Whoa.
All right, next game. Another underdog going on the road, who I'm backing to win. Pick 'em straight up. Arizona to beat Houston.
No, don't do it.
I know things didn't go so well for them last week, losing to BYU, who are an okay team. They're going to bounce back. They're going to beat Houston. They have more talent than Houston does. Houston revolve around one excellent player on the D-line.
Freak.
I'll give them that. But outside of that, I think Arizona has their own freak in their quarterback, Tate, who many were talking about as being a Heisman candidate this year, did very little last week. I think he breaks out this week, gets the shackles off, they turn it around and win. That's another one at 275. I'm only chucking the one unit on that.
Yeah, I mean, he's a bit of a freak. I don't know. Derek King, 320 yards and 3 touchdowns last week. Interesting that Arizona are actually going in favorites for this one. Is that right?
That's not what my bookie's telling me.
Okay, interesting. We'll see how the line fares, shakes out later in the week. But should be an interesting one. I like Derek King at Houston. I'm nervous. Arizona traveling.
They'll bounce back.
No,
back me
I'm
in.
I'm picking Houston.
Arizona will win that match. Okay, moving along. Next game. We talked about it in my bold prediction. I'm going to back it this week. Kansas State, but I'm going to take the 10 points too. So I'm going to give myself a little bit of leverage there. Kansas State plus 10. We're going to put 2 units on that bad boy.
Don't Don't hate that one.
Another game that we had touched on that will be fun one to watch is Minnesota Fresno. So bookies don't know what to make of it. They've got Minnesota as 2.5 point favorites. As Aaron said, it's going to be high scoring. There's going to be a lot happening. I think Minnesota win this one. I think they win it quite comfortably. I think it's a hell of a road trip from Fresno, California out to Minnesota. And that's going to play a role, and that Minnesota will get the job done. So I'm taking Minnesota -2.5. We'll put another 2 units on that.
I was saying Minnesota to cover. I agree with that. Gee, we're starting to agree. I don't know about this.
Yeah, well, we'll see, I guess. You know, if we make a bunch of money, then this is maybe the tack that we take.
This is a good thing.
If we lose, then obviously something needs to change. Our last pick this week is South Carolina and Georgia. I like the 10.5 points that are being offered along with South Carolina this week. So I say that you should take that. Another 2 units on that bad boy. So that will take you to a total of 10 units again this week. 5 games. I'll run through them again for you at home, jotting these down, ready to run them out to your bookmaker. We are on Colorado Pick'em to beat Nebraska. Look for around 275. We're on Arizona to beat Houston. Same thing. Pick him, 275.
Don't do it. Ed
one Oli- unit there.
Ed Oliver is going to just be feasting on Wildcats this week.
Next one, Kansas State. Take the 10, 2 units. We take Minnesota at home, -2.5. 2 units there. And then lastly, South Carolina at home, +10.5. Another 2 units. So I'm thinking we're a good chance of both the pick'ems getting up there, probably.
Oh, hang on. Now you're questioning your bets. Don't go in here like, oh, maybe, kind of.
There's a rhyme and a reason to this, my friend. There is a toll that needs to be paid to the betting gods. You give one away, and then you receive plentifully.
Okay, interesting. Is that how gambling works? I thought you just tried to win as much money as you could.
Look, we're all going to be winning money. You
gambler.
Sit over
Gambler's
there.
Got you, doesn't he?
No. Things are all right. We're doing okay. The people are going to be the ones who get the last laugh here because we're going to back this in. We're going to have a great week. And everyone's going to get rich.
Okay. There is Will's predictions. You've just been on the punt with him. I actually agree with more than half of those, which is a bit of a worry. I might even bloody part way with some currency myself. Hey, big spender. By units, I'll be talking in like, what did you say, 2 units? So 20 cents? Is that what we can work in that kind of unit?
Good luck.
Anyway, okay, that brings us to the end of this week's preview show. We're hoping for a big bounce back week by Miami and a good slate to sink our teeth into for week 2 of the college football season. Again, leave us a review, smash that subscribe button, hit us up on Instagram, hit us up on Twitter. My name's Aaron, that's Will, and we will see you next time.